So we're going to talk about how God is a good creator. Amen? Yeah, he is good, and he's a good creator, and we're created in his image. And if you know something about the God of the Bible, then knowing that you're created in his image is a really good thing. Genesis 1:27 states that God created man in his own image, and he says it again in the same verse, just in case people are a little bit slow and they don't get it the first time. He says again, in the image of God, he created him. Ladies and gentlemen, that is significant. We could have been created in the image of like a grasshopper or something even more disgusting. But God created us in his image for his glory, male and female. He created them. God had so much love to share that he had to make people. But he didn't have to make you. And he didn't have to make you or you or you or you. And he didn't have to make you you, but he did. He's a good God and a good creator. He creatively created you for such a time as this, in his image. Oh, to be grateful, to be alive. God is a personal, strategic, intentional creator. He doesn't use an assembly line approach. I mean, that's pretty obvious. Look around. And I know one of me is enough. I'm probably thinking one of you is enough, even though I don't know you. How many of you think one of you is enough? Yeah, that was quick. Yeah. So praise God, there's no assembly line approach. He creates every person intentionally and strategically and uniquely, on purpose, for purpose, with purpose. He had a vision for your life when he created you. He saw you putting his goodness on display. I want kids to live long and to be strong, to find out why they are the who they are. To all of you who are raising children and helping with grandkids and who teach and who coach and who minister hope and healing as you interact with your neighbors, to know that your words matter because you give people a vision for their todays and their tomorrows as they believe maybe their creator was good to them. Oh, the power we have to pass on that belief. It's never too late. My prayer is that some of you who are living in doubt and confusion and are wondering, why am I the who I am? I hope that today God may give you some answers that will be an encouragement to you. Are you ready for that? Are you willing for God to maybe speak truth and healing and hope to you? I surely hope so. Isaiah is one of the places where we read about God's intentionality. Chapter 64, verse 8, the Bible, the holy, accurate, transforming, always relevant word of God. Most important book you'll ever read. A life letter, love letter from your creator to you. All about him and his ways and all about us and our ways. In Isaiah 64, verse 8, we read, but now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Say the word all. Say it again. We are all the work of his hand. Every person has worth. Every person was wanted. We're created on purpose, with purpose. He sat at or stood at the large potter's wheel with a lump of clay that used to be you. I'll make them a girl this time. They'll be so excited. Yeah, that's a good decision. I think I'll give her long fingers. That'll make piano easier. Her mom will love that. She'll be okay with it too. I'll make her analytic. That'll give her something in common with her dad. Her mom will be okay with that, I think. Oh, no one knows it yet, but she's going to have a little brother that's going to be hard to love. I better give her a very special heart. That's who I'm going to make right now at this time. See, he strategically, intentionally, and personally thought of you and created you for such a time as this. According to God's plan, there are no unexpected pregnancies. I know that we can look around and wonder, what was God thinking giving that person a kid? Anybody, like, let's be honest here, but it's not about us. God gets to decide, amen? I'm pro-life. I'm pro-eternal life. That's cool. I'm pro-abundant life. It says in the holy, accurate word of God that when Jesus took his sin, your sin upon himself and died for us, it was that we would live an abundant life. Not just life, but abundant life. I love to tell children that he didn't die that you would have an abundant school experience, but that you would have an abundant life. Live long and be strong and find out why you are the who you are and live an abundant life. On purpose, with purpose, for purpose. That means we have to be pro-living. That's where it starts, ladies and gentlemen. I'm pro-life, pro-eternal life, pro-abundant life, pro-living. Live on purpose. Live like it matters. Become who God intended for you to be when he chose in his love to make you you. He had a vision for your life. Oh, it's so exciting. Ephesians 2:10 lays it out for us beautifully. In the New Testament, the book of Ephesians, Paul writes, "For we are his workmanship." Right? He thought of you, wanted you, created you, and molded you, and you are his masterpiece. You are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God prepared beforehand the gifts in us that we would walk in them. We're created on purpose, with purpose, for such a time as this, there is hope here. Ladies and gentlemen, our future is in us. I like to tell especially young people that stop looking at the billboards for their tomorrow message. Stop listening to the lyrics of the songs they ought not even listen to versus this beautiful praise and worship music. Stop reading and trying to figure out who you are from the outside sources. Look inside and look inside God's plan and find out why you are the who you are. The future is in you. What are the good gifts that God created in advance for you to walk in? How many of you already know some of them? I bet you do. And are you open to discovering that maybe there's something new that God has for you? God is strategic and intentional and personal, a designer, a creator. He's so good at it. I want us to live intentionally back to the Creator who created us intentionally. I want us to be aware and be alert to what's going on and to walk in that. I don't know your story, of course, but let me tell you part of mine, and let me see if it helps you identify part of yours. I was nicknamed Chatty Cathy when I was just about 3 years old. Are there any other Chatty Cathys in the room? The joke is that I was talking in the womb. I don't really think that's possible. So at about three, Grandma Meyer succumbed, and she said, "You're such a Chatty Cathy." Let me remind all of you that I might have gotten in trouble talking when I was a kid. Now people pay me to talk. It's really pretty cool, you know. I don't do what I do for the money, but I do earn a living as an author and as a speaker, all because God chose for me to have words within me for his good and his glory. The only reason that I'm here today is that my parents chose to see all the words in me as a strength to develop, not a problem to eliminate, and that is the power of a parent. If I would have been raised, be quiet, shut up, would you go find something to do, I wouldn't be here today. But my mom and dad listened to me. And they took me to the library, and I read widely. In fact, I won the library reading awards all of my junior high years for reading more books in the summer than anybody else. Now I write books. When I was a child, The Thesaurus was my favorite book. Children are like, "You need a life." No, I have a really good life. I actually write books using a thesaurus to write them. I still own the thesaurus I had when I was a young child. Childhood causes adulthood. Today leads to tomorrow. Today has something to do with your tomorrows. To pay attention matters. I did teach second graders, and I was a coach and a school board member and a professor, and now I do this, and I'm so grateful. What's your story? Are you introducing your children to their story? My grandfather was mayor of my city when I was growing up. I have a picture of him with the United States president. I couldn't be prouder to come from the family I come from. And my brother and my cousins and I, we would sit in the front row right over here in the city chambers, and I would have my little corsage, and Grandpa would give speeches, and he was the one who said, "Oh, Chatty Cathy, you know that tone of voice grandpas have? Use all those words in you only for good and never for evil, always to help and never to hurt." That's my heritage, and that's why I'm here. Because God created me for his glory and surrounded me with the family of the family. Wow, that matters so. What's your story? Are you taking advantages of the opportunities God's placed before you to discover why you are the who you are? And are you introducing children and grands and other people you know and you love to people who might minister hope and healing to them? What's your story? We all have one. God's the author. Don't get it wrong. God is the author. There's more to my story, just like there's more to yours. As an example, spelling does not come naturally to me. Am I among friends? Is there anyone here who thinks the English language could be corrected in just a few ways? Like, we don't need the letter C, it gets in the way. A young person said to me, "Dr. Cathy, the word science, S-C, the S was doing its job. Why did somebody put a C there?" And then she said, "Which is silent, the S or the C?" A little girl was learning to spell and learning her phonics, and she thought duck should be duck, cuck, cuck. She's right, but she's wrong. My last name is spelled K-O-C-H, and we pronounce it cook. That's wrong, too. That's why I go by Dr. Cathy professionally. It's just better. A little girl was making noise outside. And her, "What are you doing?" "Well, I'm helping you, Mommy." "Well, what are you doing?" "Well, I'm brooming the porch." "Well, what are you doing?" "Mommy, I'm brooming the porch." Mom thought, teachable moment, like any good mom. Says to the little girl, "This is called sweeping. Thank you for helping. This is called sweeping." The little girl is like, "Mommy, if you brush with a brush and you comb with a comb and you mop with a mop and you shovel with a shovel, why don't you broom with a broom?" Yes, clap for that. I mean, if there was ever a place to say amen in church, that was it, people. Come on. But here's even a better one. In the number 4, there is a U. In the number 14, there is a U. Spell 40. How many of you have never seen the U is missing until right now? Who took the U out of 40? So spelling doesn't come naturally to me, but I still write books. Why? Because I won't let my weaknesses win, and don't let your weaknesses win either. Yeah, thank you. Seriously. I think we live in a culture that makes it very easy to give up and give in and succumb. "Oh, I can't do that. That's too hard. Somebody else can do that." I travel with a misspeller's dictionary. In my dictionary, I can find the word the right way. Like in my dictionary, knowledge is spelled N-O-W-L-E-G-E, which I think is correct. I'm the founder and president of my own company, but the people who work with me help by proofreading. When you don't know something, you surround yourself with help that does, amen? You don't give in and give up and go, "Oh God, you were so mean to me." No, if you believe God is a good creator, God is a good creator. And when God put you together from that lump of clay to who you are today, that included the gifts in you, and that also includes the challenges in you, the weaknesses, if you will, in you that draw you to himself. To understand earlier rather than later that there's a perfect package that we are. I'm an author because I won't let my weaknesses win. I lead with my strengths. You might have a thorn in your side. I'm on a stool because I have a bad foot and a bad back, and frankly, there are days when it would be very easy to just stay home. But no. Why? Because God's bigger and better, amen? And we are created for his glory for such a time as this, not our own. And that matters. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 says it really, really well. The Lord said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you." I hope when you read the Holy Word of God, you read it with meaning. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. It's okay to know what is a challenge. Just don't give in to it. Amen and amen. The next verse says, for the sake of Christ, then I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Because when I am weak, I recognize I need the strength of the Almighty God. And I want him to be the one that is on display. What about you? What's your story? Where are you weak where he could be strong if you would yield to him? What are your strengths that you could use even more effectively than you are? We need more people to stand up and proclaim that although this is my struggle, God is still good. And I know that for some of you, your struggles are major, your struggles are big. My struggle of spelling is like, that's a non-struggle in comparison to what some of you are dealing with. I honor that. But I pray that you are putting God on display, amen? And that you are saying to the culture, you're okay that way. It doesn't mean that God hasn't loved you and that God isn't good. Amen and amen. So what is your story? I'm a chatty Cathy with some spelling deficiencies. By the way, I never say that I can't spell. That's a lie. And I don't ever say spelling is hard. That's a lie. But I will say that spelling doesn't come naturally to me. Ladies and gentlemen, don't lie. Make sure you tell the truth about who you are. Amen? Amen? I used to think I was too tall. Another part of my story, I walked home from the elementary school that I attended, and when I was about 6 years old, I sat down in the middle of my mom and dad's big double bed, and I said, Mommy, I don't want to be tall anymore. Like, what was she going to do, put a brick on my head? Am I going to take a knife and cut off 6 inches of the right and left leg and try to stick it back together because I'm unhappy with some physical situation? And I was clumsy. I don't know if any of you can realize that, but if you grow fast and stuff, I was too tall, clumsy, tripped over things that weren't there. I was miserable. Mommy, I don't want to be tall anymore. We have got to help people change their attitude toward the things that cannot change. Change the attitude toward the things that you cannot change and leave the rest alone. I'm so grateful I had a mommy to hear my heart cry, Mommy, I don't want to be tall anymore. By the end of the week, I was enrolled in tap dance class. I'll prove it. Ready? You're adorable. That simple maneuver was called a shuffle ball change. But what was really cool about becoming a dancer was that I got to be the center of the back row, a position of high honor that only the tallest girl was allowed to have. So I went from being too tall one day to being cool tall by the end of the week, because I had a mom available to my heart cry. I pray you have someone. You have the church. You have Jesus. Is there something about you that is troublesome and awkward? You don't feel good in your own body? To change your attitude toward the things that cannot change and to leave the rest alone. I was in front of a group of young children and I was talking about my story and I said, you know, I'm too tall, and I told the little story, and I had a young boy come up to me at the end, and he said, hey, lady, I don't think you're too tall. I think you're really cool tall. So I now declare myself cool tall. You know why? Because if I declare myself as too tall, it dishonors God. I'm not too tall. I'm tall. By the way, I have no trouble putting my suitcases in the overhead bins when I fly. Anybody want a few inches? I'm the one you look for in the grocery store when you want the beans on the top shelf. And I could be down there on that level on a stool and still be seen because God knew exactly what he was doing when he chose in his love to make me me, and the same thing is true for each of you. And my prayer has been and will be that you, in your growing maturity, own that. Amen and amen. What is your story? To read the holy, accurate, transforming word of God, to get to know your master, your creator, and also yourself. Well, another part of my story you've already heard today, I was created with a low voice. I'm called Sir often. It is awkward. I'll just put it out there. Now, at a drive-through restaurant, except Chick-fil-A, where they ask you for your name, which is really wise, if I'm ever at a different drive-through restaurant and I order my food, my voice is lower amplified, and so they'll say, that'll be $4.82 at the window, sir. I don't live in denial. I know I have a low voice. Why are we so quickly offended? Just rescue them. I drive 80 yards and I become a woman. And I didn't change my gender. Hello. And the kid who's working there is looking down at the receipt, looking up, thinking, I thought in this car there was a guy. I don't think that's a guy. And I just rescue. I'm like, no, it's my food is getting cold. Thank you so much for your help. And I drive away. There are times when my voice is not my favorite quality, but it's my voice, therefore it's right. Because God is a good, strategic, intentional creator who knows what he is doing. And when you know that in the knowing of your knowing, everything can change. And you can stand up for yourself and be okay with it all. Low voices are easier to hear than high voices. I've been to 30 countries to help North American missionaries. Don't need a sound system. Estonia, Albania, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan. I could be in a gymnasium across town speaking to 1,000 high school kids and have the buzz be so bad that we turn it off. And guess what? My voice carries because low voices go further in the room. And God knew exactly what he was doing when he chose in his love to make me me. And the same thing is true for you. Do you believe that today? Wow, that's so cool. Strength, weakness, all on purpose, with purpose, for a purpose. Proud of you for wanting to believe that. Psalm 139 is another place where we read about God's beautiful intentionality. David writes, "For God formed my inward parts." Oh, pray that over your children, that they would believe that and that they would want that to be true. Oh, God, thank you for forming my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. So not only is God the best clay sculptor ever, but he's a master knitter. And ladies and gentlemen, let me remind all of you that the knitter decides in advance what to knit. The knitter chooses the type of needle, the size of the needle, the type of yarn, the color of the yarn, and whether to make a hat or a scarf or a mitten or a sweater or an afghan. Because if you don't decide, you have a mess of a non-thing at the end. Your God decided you would be his creation. You've been knit together. You're not too tall and your voice isn't too low. Stop that. Oh, to know in the knowing of you, knowing the goodness of God towards you. And David writes, what I pray you can say, I praise you, God, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made, set apart, uniquely designed for your glory for such a time as this. Wonderful are your works. And the verse ends, my soul knows it very well. Ladies and gentlemen, when I woke up one day, and my soul knew very well that my voice was my voice, therefore it was right. Everything changed for me. To know that you've been knit together, to know that you're fearfully and wonderfully made, to know that his work toward you has been wonderful, and that your soul would know deep down in the knowing of your knowing that God has been good to you. It's what allows me to rip up the hate mail. Clearly you're a guy, why don't you just admit it? Sexuality has nothing to do with whether you have a high voice or a low voice. It has nothing to do with what colors you like to wear or what toys you like to play with. It's not about what you look like or who you play with when you're 8. Your sexuality is not about your personality. Personality does not dictate sexuality. Who you sleep with does. I have empathy for the gender confused because I wonder if I was young today, being called sir, if I might wonder if my voice was right and everything else was wrong. We live in chaotic, confusing, difficult days, and I pray it's not true in this church. And that you know your Creator, and you know He's good, and you speak up on His behalf to the confused. Remember, not everybody knows the truth we know. We don't have a right to hold them accountable to a truth they do not know. But we can be examples of the truth we desperately want them to believe by the way we treat ourselves and the people who we hang out with. To teach people about God's creative intent can change everything. I am created on purpose. I am cool tall. I am a chatty Cathy. And I do have a low voice that's not too low, that allows me to do the ministry that God's called me to with good effect. And it's okay that I think spelling makes no sense, because it doesn't. What's your story? What are your adjectives? What do you wish your story was? What would it take for that to be your truth starting now? Let me remind all of you that you cannot be whatever you want to be, and your children cannot be whatever they want to be. That's a lie from the devil. I could not have been a jockey on a horse. How many of you just pictured it and it's bad? How many of you want to rescue the horse, right? That poor horse. I am eating my knees. It is bad, bad, bad. No, you can't be whatever you want to be. Now, if you said that to your kids, I know you meant well. I know you meant well. No shame, no blame. But you can only be who God's created you to be. And I'm going to say something else, and I wonder if we would stop. Yeah, I appreciate that. You're affirming the holy word of God, and I appreciate that. You know, some of us are really caught up in helping kids. You know, what are you going to do when you grow up? What are you going to do when you grow up? What if we said, who are you going to be when you grow up? We're human beings. We're not human doings. Be more concerned with who they are than with what they're going to do, and everything else will fall into place. Who are you? Who have you been created to be? Why you? Why now? This way. I enjoy presenting this message to children of all ages. It's really fun in public schools, actually. They don't have to know I'm speaking the word of God for it to have power over them. There is a way. So Trent sent me a thank you note. You inspired me. Thank you for motivating me to the next chapter of my story. I pray you've been motivated today to find your next chapter. Michaela wrote, I'm special, but I don't brag about it. Because I love to tell children that they're fearfully and wonderfully made, set apart and unique. It's not I'm better than you are, but I am special. God didn't have to make any of us, but He did. And she wrote, I will find my true story when I'm older. I don't know now because my story is just starting. And then Hunter wrote, I did not know I had a story. But now that I do know, I can't wait to find out what my story is. Oh, Father God, would you help us find our story? Father God, for those who are here today and they really have legitimately wondered why you caused them to have this talent and this challenge and this family and not that skill, oh, Father God, would you meet their needs even now? Oh, I pray that doubt has been lifted and confusion has been erased by clarity. Oh, Father God, would we love you well in our strategic attempt to live life for your glory as you've created us for such a time as this. Father God, help us own who we are. I pray that we would gift truth to others who are confused, that we would walk with them into their reality. Oh, Father God, help us know who we are and show us who others are, that we would be your grace to them. Oh, I thank you for your word, for your strategic intentionality, for creating us when you didn't have to, but you wanted to, because you had so much love. I pray we receive it today. I pray in Jesus' name.